Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You just love a good Yankee implosion.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing, especially when it happens in New York. We love it here. We get to enjoy it, and we did that earlier in the season, but when it happens in New York and you hear the boos, that's something special.
ANC and Casey Mize get on the bump, go six innings, strike out eight, and he gave up a couple solo shots in little band box, but he limited the damage, and he put together one of his best outings in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back decent outings for Casey Mize, who has struggled since July.
And it's against good lineups. So both New York teams. Last time he took the mound was against the Mets. He went five innings, only gave up one run. And then this time it's at the Yankees. And he goes six innings, only gives up two runs. Those are both two solo shots. And we know if there's damage going to be done, it's going to be by that New York lineup because they just hit more home runs than anybody else.
Yep. The seventh inning for the Tigers was awesome.
Yeah.
Watching the other team trip over themselves. Tigers not trying to do too much. Hey, you get hit by a pitch, you take your walk. And finally, Kerry Carpenter gets something and hits triple. And they blew that thing wide open. A 12-2 win against the Yankees last night. I have your third clue for Name That Lion for your chance to win Lions tickets. Your third clue. I attended Ohio State University.
Mm.
Listen for the sounder. It'll be your cue to call to guess for Lions tickets. Name That Lion every Wednesday. All right, John, with the Tigers, where are we at? Because now that football season's here, and because they've just kind of been hovering around 500, it feels like they've been kind of out of sight, out of mind for people. I've kind of likened it to this lazy river where they're like a 500 team for 70, 75 games.
Yeah.
ESPN.com did their real or not real for every team in the mix.
Yeah, contenders for a World Series championship,
yes,
correct?
Yes, this is to win the World Series. Can or can't win it all, real or not. And for the Tigers, I clicked on it, I wanted to see. They said not real. And they specifically said starting pitching outside of Tarek Skubal is why they can't go on to win the World Series. They are not real. Do you
understandable.
Agree? Do you agree with that?
I agree with it for the last 2 months. I don't know what this pitching staff is going to be by the time we get to September. Because if they are what they were for the last couple of months, then yeah, I don't think they're real contenders. If Casey Mize pitches as he has the last two games, and I know that ERA is not good, but he's given them a chance to win. And when you look at the last seven starts, let's go eight starts. They've only lost one of those games.
Right, but how has he pitched? Because that's going to be more indicative.
I understand that. But if the Tigers just simply win when he pitches, yeah, you want him to be pitching good, which he has for two games. And this is what I've always said. You need to be pitching well. Your bats need to be active when you get to the end of September. And hopefully that carries over into October and however far you can get in the playoffs.
So I'm looking at it. Casey Mize's last 10 starts that go back to July 12th.
Mm-hmm.
They are 7-3 as a team in those games. He has an ERA over 6. It's incredibly misleading. That is not sustainable. You will not win 7 of every 10 games if your starter has an ERA of 6.
No, but when you get to September, only two games. ERA is 2.45.
Yeah, I like what the last two starts have been.
Can he now string together three starts? That's what you have to look at and say, is he going to be a guy that when you need him most, he shows up?
See, I just think ideally he's a number three because he's a bit of a nibbler.
I'm not going to argue that.
Because he's a bit of a nibbler. Like, he'll battle. Like, if he gets into trouble, he can work through some of it. I've been impressed with his ability to limit damage when he runs into problems. But he doesn't have big-time swing and miss, so he does profile more as a number three. Now, he may be the two by default, and certainly want to see him play like he did in the first half of the season where he was an all-star, because because that can give you a 1-2 punch and get you out of a 5-game series. But the question was, win a World Series. And if we're still trying to nail down the second spot, you don't have the horses to win 2 different 7-game series. I thought it was fair. I don't like that reality, but right now they're not real as a World Series team.
I mean, I can understand that because you're going off of not necessarily what happened in April, May, or June. It's more indicative of who they are now. And we can make all those determinations that we want, but who they are now doesn't mean that's who they're going to be, you know, come the 1st of October.
Well, and I'm hoping that last night is the start of something because it's Parker Meadows, yeah, too, and he was part of that turnaround last year.
Against the Yankees.
Very quietly came up over the weekend. I know football's on everybody's TVs. He had a big night last night. You tell me I get, how many games are there left? 15 to 20 here?
Yeah.
You give me a good 2 weeks out of Parker Meadows. You give me another 2 good starts out of Casey Mize. Maybe Flaherty. Okay, we can revisit this. But as we have the conversation on
17 games.
As we have the conversation on September the 10th, I would put them in the not real category. If you're curious what they said about all the other teams,
yeah,
they had the Brewers, Phillies, Yankees, and Cubs as the real contenders to win the World Series.
So the Yankees are the only ones out of the American League, even though they're not winning their division.
Correct. And they didn't even win last night. The not real of the contenders, the Blue Jays, the Dodgers, and the Tigers. Everybody else was in the spoiler category, and of the spoilers, they said the Astros, Mariners, Padres, and Mets are real spoilers, and the spoilers who are not real are the Royals, Rangers, and Red Sox.
Okay. So that's not written in stone.
No.
And a lot of things can change as they have the ups and downs of a Major League Baseball season. I just simply want to get to the postseason and see who AJ picks as who's going to be game 2 starter and how do they perform? What is Jack Flaherty going to be? That's kind of the biggest mystery because you look at Morton, you're like, okay, 41 years old, maybe we can get, you know, 4 or 5 good innings out of him, maybe a couple of good starts. Flaherty has been such a roller coaster. The highs have been really good. The lows have been really bad. And you look at Casey Mize and you say, okay, well, the Tigers just simply win when he pitches. Even if he doesn't pitch well, they win. For Flaherty, it kind of feels like it's the opposite.
Yeah.
And so it's just...
Much more uneven and they don't win.
Yeah, yeah, it's just been a huge roller coaster. And for a little while, it was every other start. And then you have a couple of bad starts. And so I'm hoping that Flaherty... Some of these guys that are more veteran players... And I wouldn't even put Casey Mize in that situation because of the injury and the fact that he just doesn't have a lot of years of service. But that Morton is a guy, when he came over and he pitched a couple of good starts, that he is that guy that just the light bulb hits and he is pitching because he doesn't have a lot more years. He doesn't have more opportunities to get to the World Series or be of a part of a World Series run. So you're hoping that you get the best of Morton. There's a lot of hope in there.
I know. And that's the issue is in a 7-game series, you need these guys to make more than one start. And if you're uneven, you're not going to get to a 7th game. You're not going to get to a 3rd Scooble appearance in a 7-game series. Texter says we're too hard on Mize. The stats aren't great, but he does what he needs to when he takes the hill, gives him a chance to win. I'm okay with them. I feel like they've won in spite of him since July. The numbers are the numbers, guys.
Well, the last two, he's been a part of.
Well, that's why I'm
the
encouraged.
Reason they've won.
Yes, yeah. But by and large, in the second half of the season, they've won in spite of him in the majority of his outings. Texter says they're not real because our genius boy GM decided to be the smartest man in the room and shop at the bargain bin instead of going to an actual store. Text says we have pitching chaos in our back pocket if we need it.
Yeah, but you're still using all the same arms.
Mm-hmm, and they're not as good as they were a year ago on the mound.
But you have AJ Hinch, and is he just going to pull that genius card out and create all the best matchups and outmanage other managers?
Look, speaking of genius boy GM, there's a lot of criticism for Harris and Brad Holmes right now.
You think?
Yeah, we've been sitting in this studio all week. Yeah, we're well aware of it.
Number 10 in the latest Fox Sports Big Ten power rankings, Michigan's down two places to number 7, the top three, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. At the Corwell Health Sports Desk, I'm Luke Sloan. For more, go to 97.1 The Ticket or Odyssey.com.
All right, here we sit, which is a couple weeks ago in the MLB regular season. And it feels to me like a couple things could be happening. These are small sample sizes, but you know, you talk about realistic chances to win the whole thing. We started with the premise, and it could be flawed, and if you want to debate it, let's go, that if Casey Mize is rounding into form and turning back into all-star Casey Mize, that the Tigers have become a considerably greater threat to win the American League. That they, in short series, can throw Scooble and Mize twice. And Casey Mize has been really good the past two outings against playoff contenders. Like, really good. That's premise number one. Here's premise number two. And to take it to the next level. If Casey Mize is all-star Casey Mize, and Parker Meadows is second half 2024 Parker Meadows, they become a serious World Series contender. Parker Meadows provides speed. He provides defense. And he's, since his return, he's 4 of 9 at the plate with 2 home runs. Again, these are small sample sizes, but if you, I'm intrigued. If you add those two pieces and be the best versions of what they can be, convince me this team can't win at all. I think the Detroit Tigers can win it all. And that is something that is, I'm willing to build a foundation of an argument of them being a legitimate World Series contender. 248-539-9797. And am I missing anything? Am I missing anything, or am I overstating how important these two players are?
No, I don't think you're overstating it. I think, if anything, I think what people might be missing, if they're going to doubt the team, is that who's better in the American League? Okay, great. They're not playing, you know, 700 baseball right now like they were for the first 80 games of the season. They're basically playing 500 since then. Okay, anybody else taking off and playing out of their minds? No, They're just as good as anybody else, if not better than anybody else out there. And the thought that Parker Meadows is back to being good, you know, it's you're right. It's too early to say that. But understand this. When he went to Toledo for his rehab stint, he played 13 games there. In the 13 games, he had 3 doubles, 3 triples, a home run, and had an OPS of 933. Again, it's a small sample size, but it's 13 games. You add to that the 3 games he's played here where he's like 4 for 9 with a couple home runs. Yeah, I'm not going to apologize for liking Parker Meadows and thinking that this guy can be that piece. Is he right now? I don't know, right? That's the big unknown. What he was at this time last year was vitally important to the success of this team. And he gives this team that lift. He gives it the lift at the plate and certainly in the field. I don't know if he'll be in the lineup tonight. They face the left-handed pitcher, so likely out of the lineup if they're going to do the whole lefty-lefty, righty-righty thing, keep him out. So we'll see what happens if Wenzel Perez goes to center field and, you know, Javi Baez is the shortstop, which is probably how it's going to go. But, yeah, I'd like to see and believe that Parker Meadows is the Parker Meadows from last year.
It's early. But that's two simple in-house things that might be happening in front of our eyes right now that could be the backbone of a World Series championship. Mize and Parker Meadows. And, you know, there's still a couple weeks here to go before the postseason. But I want to get into some Tiger talk about the realistic chances to win this whole thing because, you know, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be better in a series against a team across from you. But you start talking about adding in all-star Casey Mize and productive Parker Meadows, and you're talking about massive, massive factors in September and into October. 248-539-9797. Willing to if people are laughing at this and you think I'm overstating the case, or if there's something else I'm missing that is a requirement, 248-539-9797. Let's get to your phone calls. We go to Connor on 97. Want a ticket. Hi, Connor.
Hi. I was going to say it just depends on who gets hot in the playoffs and the health of the team. I think we're trending in the right direction with health. And when it comes to Olsen, I would say to scratch him for the playoffs. But I think it's going to be more of a bullpen chaos. It wouldn't shock me if Hinch doesn't let Mize go past the fifth inning in the playoffs. But sometimes if he gives us five innings, one earned, that's all we need from him. And I think we have as good of a shot as anyone else. There's not really one team that stands out to me this year. And, I mean, you could say the whole, if this guy gets hot, if this guy gets hot with every single team. So we just got to bank on health and have trust in the players, which I do.
I'm intrigued a little bit. Why do you think Hinch might have an earlier hook on Casey Mize?
You just watch games like the Mets game, 67 pitches pulled after the fifth inning, even though he had a pretty good start. And Hinch tends to do that a lot more in the playoffs. You look at last year's playoffs, you had guys like Cater Montero start two innings. You'd have a lot of two innings.
Well, they had the opener. Yeah, they were doing the chaos thing last year. I don't know if they're going to do I think everything with A.J. Hinch when it comes to taking out a pitcher, let's say like Casey Mize, because he's a rotation guy. He's not an opener guy. He's actually a starter. If they're going to take him out in the sixth inning of a game where he's pitched really well through five, my guess is it's because the batters that are coming up third time through the lineup, whatever metric they has, tells them that this is a bad move to leave the pitcher in. I think they really rely heavily on the metrics of pitcher versus batter when it comes to the later innings of a game, when they're going to take somebody out. Like, for instance, last night, if it were a little bit tighter, would Mize have pitched to Aaron Judge another time? I'm not sure
when
he would have.
Watching that game, I thought he was going to get yanked on the spot there.
Okay.
But I was happy he stayed in. You need to let him have at-bats like that to gain confidence for the playoffs. And I firmly believe that when it comes to the playoffs, Hinch doesn't care about starters. You have a guy like Mize who is a starter. Hinch just is thinking in his head, what guy puts me in the best matchup situation to get these next three outs? And, I mean, the one thing that does kind of scare me a little bit about the analytics with Mize, I try not to dig into analytics, but there's something that he has like a 6.5 ERA when he faces the top of the order the second time.
Hey, appreciate it, Connor. Thank you very much.
Which is, those are the things he pays attention to.
Yep.
That A.J. Hinch pays attention to. And that's why you'll see somebody get yanked in the sixth inning.
248-539-9797. Alex is next on 97. Want a ticket. Hi, Alex.
Hi, good morning. I want to comment on both the Tigers and the Lions. Okay. First of all, the Tigers, I just feel like they're not there yet. I feel like, Scott Harris could have did a little more. During free agency. Also, against good teams, it shows, like when they play the Mets, when they play Toronto.
Let me ask you just about the premise, though. What if Casey Mize is turning back into all-star Casey Mize and Parker Meadows, who's been hot since he returned, is turning into last year Parker Meadows? Do you feel like they then become a strong World Series contender? And if you're not willing to accept that they're going to be that yet, that's fine.
They can be a contender. I mean, true enough, but I don't think they will win at all. If they got to the World Series, okay, we would probably lose to a National League team, So, therefore, I mean, they could be a contender. But, I mean, to win it all, you got to be the champ to win it all. And I don't think they're the champ yet. And also the Detroit Lions, I just feel like Brad Holmes should trade for offensive lineman now, give up one of our draft picks, even if it has to be a first, second, or third pick. Give up a pick, get a lineman in here. I don't think we have enough with, both Glasgow and the rookie up front. We need another offensive lineman.
So you've seen enough after one start, after one game?
I've seen enough after one start. Yeah. Okay. I can see the hole. I know we need a lineman. We need to get a lineman, like right now.
It's interesting because two of the three guys there are essentially rookies. I mean, the job is Mahogany's for the first time. He's in year two, and obviously Tate Ratledge in game one. I think there's a chance that they're going to look a lot better. Glasgow is an interesting debate point. I don't know if they need to do it, as you put it, right now, but it's something, as we like to say, something to monitor. 248-539-9797. More your phone calls and feedback. Are the Tigers a serious contender? A serious, need to be talked about, even favorite, if Mize and Meadows have morphed back into the best version of themselves? Small sample sizes, but good from both of them of late. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Gator, what if I told you that a championship for our team is so close that you can see it? What if I told you one of our team has just what it takes to win it all? What if I told you that it's right under our nose and we're starting to see it?
Well, I certainly think that the two teams that are competing right now have a chance to win a championship. I haven't wavered off of that. Mm-hmm. I don't care that the Lions lost the opener to Green Bay. That doesn't change my thoughts on the season at all. And watching the Tigers play, you know, there's not one team that has really been dominant in the American League. In fact, the only team that's really kind of been dominant in baseball for a long period of time where they look good doing it is might be Milwaukee. And that's in the National League. You don't have to worry about them until the World Series. So I think it's quite possible both teams have this chance. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If Casey Mize is all-star Casey Mize, how strong of a contender are the Tigers to win the American League?
Well, I think quite strong because you would have the second guy, right? We know what Skubal is. He's the best pitcher in baseball. If you get Casey Mize, like what we saw the Casey Mize last night, 4 hits, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts, no walks in 6 innings. That's awesome. You'll take that. You'll take it all day long. Mm-hmm. And frankly, he could have pitched into the seventh inning had this been a playoff game situation. But, you know, when you're sitting like an hour because the turnstiles keep going on third base to come on home because of the walk fest going on.
So wild.
Yeah, I mean, why bother? You don't need to have him in there. You can take him out, give some other guys some work, and save the rest of the bullpen. So, I like the idea that Casey Mize can be that guy. I'm not buying it just yet, but he can. Last night showed it. I mean, the other thing, the fact we talked about it earlier, to pitch in that stadium, Yankee Stadium, and come away with 6 innings where you only gave up 2 runs, that's a win-win. And for the game, the Tigers pitching staff as a whole, which was Casey Mize and Chris Paddock, they only gave up the 2 runs through 9 innings? Yeah, that's a job well done because that stadium is tiny.
Okay, if you look at the postseason schedule, last year the Tigers played Cleveland in the divisional series. The Tigers are a strong candidate to get that first round bye. They're 4 games up on Houston right now with, 17 games to go or something. They opened the series on October 5th. Then they had an off day. Then they played on October 7th. Then they had an off day. And then they played on October 9th. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they played on the Wednesday and Thursday and then came back on Saturday. If 2 of those 4 starts are Skubal and Mize, if they each get 2 starts, I should say, in a 5-game series, and if Mize is all-star Casey Mize, which is the last 2 starts he's given 300 runs, and he did it against the Yankees lineup in that bandbox last night, and given he gave up the home runs, but he was keeping runners off base, so the damage was minimal, I think the Tigers become an extraordinarily strong play in the American League if Casey Mize is getting back to form here late in the season. And I, you know, you can debate it, and we're willing to debate it. But I just ask you, if Casey Mize is All-Star Casey Mize, do you like the Tigers' chances to win the American League?
Yeah, I really do.
I do,
and
too.
You know, I can hedge it and say, well, he doesn't have to be that good, but he's got to be good enough, and then a third pitcher has to emerge. But that's not what we're going with.
No. Nope.
You're going to tell me he's going to be the All-Star Casey Mize?
Yep.
And you couple that with Cy Young Award-winning Tarek Skubal? You know, having two stud starting pitchers entering the postseason, that's good enough to beat most every team when it comes to a playoff situation. So I'd like their chances a lot.
So I guess
and then trusting pitching chaos for a third start with whatever Hinch is going to throw at him.
The reason you bring it up is, again, we always talk about the guardrails, trying to be as realistic as possible, and we don't always keep the car on the road. But
not always.
Is it realistic that Mize can get back to what he was? And I think we're seeing evidence that it's realistic. Two games is not the biggest sample size, but in these two games, he's been pretty damn good. And, you know, doing it against a Yankee team that you might see in the postseason is not insignificant, if you ask me. Now, you know, the idea, he's got to keep it up. You know, we've always talked about Fetter being on the job. Has Fetter figured out something? I mean, the last team he did it to was the Mets, right? It was the Mets, wasn't it? Give me a second to look it up. But the Mize's last, that's another playoff team.
His last what?
His previous start, the other one he was really good.
It was against the Mets. Yes,
okay,
I'm sorry. So one
back-to-back
inning, one
postseason,
runs for 5 innings, yes.
Back-to-back postseason capable teams, Casey Mize has been really good.
Well, keep this in mind, too. Casey Mize has only had two blow-up games. One was the game prior to the Mets against the Athletics, where he gave up 5 runs in 3 1/3. The other blow-up game he had was back in July against Seattle. He gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. Beyond that, he has a few games where he gave up 4 runs, and otherwise he's been really, really good. Like, he was, as you mentioned, All-Star Casey Mize. You take that guy all the way up through, basically through middle of July. That's All-Star Casey Mize. It became a problem after that for a few starts, but he's bounced back. Do I think he can be the guy that's going to have an ERA of 3 for the rest of the way? He can. And to your point, if he is, yes.
It's a game changer.
I think they have it is absolutely a game changer.
It's a game changer. And it was good to see last night that the people that always talk about and know deep things about pitching talk about his location has been just elite of late.
The caveat I would throw at that, which isn't, it has nothing to do with Casey Mize or Tarek Skubal or whatever they do with pitching chaos, it's the health of Kyle Finnegan.
Yeah.
They need to have him back and be 100% ready to go. No issues at all with the groin. Hey, this is precautionary. We've got such a huge lead. We can afford to have him gone for basically 2 weeks. And when he comes back, we know that maybe he was only going to be gone for 5 days. Doesn't matter. We're going to put him out for 2 weeks so that he's completely ready to go for the postseason, because this team needs to make a deep postseason run. He is absolutely key to the pitching staff, I think, is Tarek Skubal.
Well, I mean, the good news is they say it's a mild strain, and I also love that no pitcher's ever thrown a pitch with their groin. So if it's an arm issue, I have much bigger concerns.
Well, you push off your groin.
Let's take it to the next level and talk about winning it all. We'll do that today at 11:02 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket to your phone calls. Greg is in Dearborn and is on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Greg.
Hey, what's up, boys? Happy Friday, Junior.
Friday Eve.
So, yeah, right. So I had a question. Which returning injured pitcher do you guys think is going to put in the most impact on this postseason to hopefully help us go on a big run here?
What a great question. Does Kyle Finnegan count?
No. Oh, that's why I forgot to say. So yeah, Finnegan's out. We're just expecting him to be back. God willing, his groin's all rubbed up.
Oh boy. So we're talking about maybe Reese Olson, who would be available hopefully in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which might be the Tigers' first round. You're looking at Jose Urquidy.
Yeah. You haven't said Alex the name Lang. I'm thinking of yet. No, that's not it.
Then a Brant Herder.
That's not it.
Who?
Paul Sewald.
And Paul Sewald. Thank you for bringing that one up. Yeah.
It's okay. He's the one. He's putting in innings right now, right?
Yeah, he's starting to pitch, level. Yep.
So, I mean, Finnegan's the obvious answer, but as you said, but beyond that, they traded for Sewald for a reason. Not all their trades are going to work, but I feel like when you trade for a player that's injured, that you know you're going to get back, but you may or may not get back, it tells me that they love that player. And so, because you're not going to trade for a guy like that that might help you if you don't absolutely love the guy. Well, who would trade for an injured player that they're not sure is going to help them? So you trade, right? It makes no sense. So you trade for an injured player.
One in the start of the year.
Because that didn't work out. But you trade for this guy at the trade deadline because you love what he'll bring to the table and it's worth the risk. So he's the one I find most intriguing. But there are a number of options, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful because I love Reese Olson. I feel like he was our most reliable there for a while, like number two guy. And I know he just had like a PRP injection. So I would think that maybe they would bring him in kind of like a Melton kind of thing. Like, Mize, good, great, much better. You know, Flaherty last night, much better. But I still kind of don't trust those guys a little bit. And so if they had like a short leash, maybe bring a Reese Olson for like three innings or something like that.
Well, if Reese Olson is able to help this team out, that'd be great. And I think they would love to welcome him back. But it's going to be tough because when he's ready to come back, it's not like you can send him to the minors for his stint. So you're taking a gamble. Urquidy in his last three outings with Toledo has pitched three innings, and two innings. Has not given up a run during that time. He's only given up three hits. Allowed two walks, and he struck out seven during that time. He has gotten better and better as he continues to spend time in the minors. I'm curious to see when they decide to give him a chance to come back to this team.
It's funny because, I mean, A.J. Hinch would talk about him when he was so far away from being back.
Yeah.
That I'm like, why is he even doing this? Why is he even bringing his name up? And did they really sign a guy named Urquidy? You know, those are the kind of questions we were asking.
Yeah, Alex Lang has also pitched well lately down in the minors.
So Sawyer Gibson Long will pitch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Have they decided he's starting or he's the bulk guy?
They're not sure. At least they didn't. Last night they still weren't sure what the role was going to be if he starts the game or they just know he's going to pitch and might be the bulk pitcher. But, you know, with the pitching chaos, they like to send somebody out there for the first inning. Take care of Aaron Judge, if you can. Get the righty-righty matchup and then go with Gibson Long at some point.
It's so weird. I'd have to go back and look at this, but this is shaping up to be... I want to go back and see when the Tigers have won the division. You know, the magic number is 8, right? So they're really, really, really close to clinching this thing. Is this going to be the biggest margin they've had in the American League in their division since the 84 Tigers?
I don't know. I have to go back and look, but I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think even their World Series contending teams. I don't think those teams.
One of them was a wild card.
One was the wild card in 06, right? And then they had the team, what was it, 2012 or 13. They had those three really good teams in a row. But I think, yeah,
so,
I think this would be the biggest margin. 87
was a game. It came down to last day. 2006, they were a wild card.
They were a wild
card.
So, yeah, no, I think you're right. I think this outside of.
Which is insane to think about because that would mean, I mean, in some ways, in theory, as a measurement, you go, the 84 team went into the postseason with supreme confidence. And I guess we need to go back and look and see if it's true. It feels like it's true. This team, I feel like this team will go into the playoffs with maybe only the exception of one with the least amount of confidence from the fan base. And that one would be last year's team. And I get why. Like, the way the Tigers are doing are not typically how everybody else does it. Who's their trading card guy outside of Scuba where everybody wants his card? You got an autographed Brent Herter? Like, nobody's going to say that, right? Riley Green has some star power.
Oh, sure.
But
they've got some guys that have star, but not like
superstars.
School, no.
There's so few superstars, but it's just weird to think of. This is going to be potentially the most comfortable division victory they've had since 84. And I don't know that this team, this fan base, Tiger Nation, I don't know if we take a swagger into the postseason, and maybe we should.
Well, it's a system-wide thing with the Tigers this year. I was just looking at the overall standings for the teams in the minors.
Yeah.
Lakeland is 75-53 this year. So that's 22 games above 500, right? That's quite impressive. Mm-hmm. Toledo, the AAA affiliate, they're 76-64. That's 12 games above 500. Then you look at Erie, the AA affiliate. They're 80-54. That's 26 games above 500. But the piece de resistance, West Michigan, the high A affiliate, which is where Max Clark and Briseño and McGonigal started before they got promoted, 92-39 this year.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
That's pretty crazy.
The worst team of the bunch is Toledo at 12 games above?
Doesn't seem right.
I mean, well, I'm just saying, that's what's amazing about this team is this is a system-wide thing. What Scott Harris has done is just absolutely gone out and filled up the rosters of all these teams. This is why they didn't want to have to give up on some prospects. One of the reasons why, because they're really doing it here, making it homegrown. When the time is right, they can make trades and give up some of those guys. But my God, those records are astounding.
So the 2011 Detroit Tigers won the division by 15 games. Everybody else, 3-1-1 wild card. So, hey, man, this team's like one of those. So, reason to be a little chesty about this squad. Little. Especially the way they've been playing.
West Michigan is 53 games above 500. The differential, run differential, is 294. The next closest is plus 69.
Wow.
It's amazing.
248-539-9797. 97 won the ticket.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody's completely misinterpreting what I'm saying. Here's a text that says, why can't Doug just accept what the game was instead of trying to put a positive spin on it? It was a bad game that showed some weaknesses that need to be improved, and hopefully they are by Sunday. That's all.
Is that not exactly what you said?
That's kind of exactly what I said. There's no positive spin on that game. The only positive thing is that it was game one, and it was one game.
I don't think anybody is. Can you? What can you spin positively about?
I don't know. I guess
the only thing I've ever tried to spin positively on that is, I think the defense was better in the second half.
Well, I thought they stopped the run well, and you know that was a debate point.
And thus concludes our discussion of the positive things.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we got some pushback yesterday. People saying, well, the only reason it was better is because Green Bay geared it down. They were never up so comfortably that they would, I would think, gear it down. But with that said, we don't know. We're speculating that the Lions defense had a better second half. Others want to say Green Bay took their foot off the gas, but we really don't know. The only people that know are the Green Bay staff. I wouldn't think that the game wasn't 40-3. It was 17-3 at the half. If the Lions were up 17-3, I would not want them to take the foot off the gas.
No.
But anyway, so look, I look in the mirror. What did I say that this person think I was trying to put a positive spin on the game? Nothing. I don't think I said anything was trying to put a positive. I was just trying to put in perspective. It doesn't mean the season's over. And I guess the parallel with the Tigers is fascinating to me because we spent the better part of 3-4 weeks in the middle of the season saying, okay, this is terrible, but this is sort of your classic losing streak where you can't shake the feeling that you're never going to win again. and that this is who you are. But when you get hot, you feel like you're never going to lose again. I mean, the Tigers, ask yourself this. You think the Tigers beat the Yankees tonight? And they have dominated the Yankees for two games. And the Tigers righted the ship, got back, and they're speeding towards the postseason with a lot of stuff, getting back to form that we hope holds up. Like, I don't know that Parker Meadows has returned, but looky here.
Looks pretty good.
I don't know that Casey Mize has turned a corner, but looky here. And then Jack Flaherty last night. But looky here. There was a lot of looky going on.
A lot of looky. Well, when Jack, again, maybe this is just it. When Jack Flaherty plays playoff competition, he steps up. Maybe it's that simple, but
when the Tigers play playoff competition, they step up. They are 13-7 against the other four teams behind them in the American League. Or against the other major contenders. The one team that's beat them up a little bit is a team that's battling to get in, Seattle. But the truth is,
they got back at Houston. They done all right against Toronto, I guess. They won the series, the season series against
the Yankees. They're 3-4 with Toronto. Toronto's the one that got them. But they have a chance to close out the season tonight with a 4-1 record against the Yankees.
National League is a little different.
5-1. It could be 5-1.
You don't worry about the National League until you get to the World
Series. Dude, I'd love to worry about the National League. Let's worry about the National League.
You know, a month from now.
Yeah.
Month and a half.
Let's lean into our concerns about the National League. I'm with you. Not sure they can beat the National League. But anyway, the point is, because seasons are so long, you get to, the Tigers are 4-1 against the Yankees now. So they're 14-7 against the top four contenders in the American League. So this is a strong resume, right? That there was an undermining. Tigers did a good job of undermining us midseason. And right now the Lions felt like a very authentic undermining in game one, but it is one game. And I guess it goes back to, I really like the head coach. One game shouldn't change that. And I really like the GM, and one game shouldn't change that. Much of the GM angst is centered around the fact that the GM isn't doing things the way that you personally would do them. And that's, like, I get it. But GM's work's been, the net's been pretty good. He's put his team in that pool of teams that can win it all. But they got a lot of work to do, it appears. 248-539-9797. Bernard in Detroit, you're on 97.1. Whoa, Bernard, can you take us off speaker? Do you got us next to a jet engine or something? It's all right. Yeah, it's just a general rule is always take us off speaker before you come.
Okay, that better?
Oh, much better. Yes, thank you.
I was at the bus stop. I actually headed out of here for a moment. But listen, I was listening to you talking about a positive spin on that game. You know, there were several positives to me. The main one was this, that they stayed in the red zone. I mean, we had to dig and duck and fight hard to get down there, but we went down there with 2 field goals, the interception. But we were in the red zone a lot, and if we could have just finished, we would have been in the game. But I think that was part of just to get in the red zone against that defense the way they played.
Interesting. I don't know that – I mean, I think red zone concerns are very real concerns. Those are money downs. Those are big – those are where the going gets tough, and they finished last year. And with a new – interior of the offensive line and a new coordinator, it's fair to question whether or not this is going to be a repetitive problem.
Okay. Well, we'll see. But let me say one more thing. I'll let you guys go. This Micah Parsons thing. Oh, my God. I mean, Micah Parsons, he had some pressures and played a good football game. But I don't think it was him that made Jared Goff throw that interception. That was just Jared Goff to me. So.
Well, he did push Penei Sewell back into his lap, and that didn't help. But I'll take Penei Sewell as my right tackle this season. He didn't have his best game. What were the lines in the red zone in this game?
I don't have.
I'm sorry.
Stats like that.
I don't know why I'm asking you as if you had the stats in front of you.
I mean, I can do my best.
Because they here we go.
They were 1 of 4.
1 of 4. Last year, they had a 67% touchdown rate in the red zone, which red zone percentage, I think it should be touchdown percentage. When you get in the red zone, I think one of the critical stats in football is, do you finish drives in the end zone? And field goals are cool, but What is your red zone scoring percentage for just touchdowns? The Lions were third in the NFL, 67.95%. But, okay, coaches are on it to try and make it better. To try and make it better. And did Dan Campbell suddenly just start to suck?
No.
Did A.J. Hinch in the middle of the season suddenly just start to suck?
I didn't think so.
No. So this is interesting parallels between our football team and our baseball team. All right. Morning Show had a very interesting question. We'll get to that a little bit later on. In the meantime, this from an unnamed texter. I'm concerned Terrion Arnold may be a big fat bust. Hopefully he greatly improves, but he wasn't impressed last year either. Well, last year, if you look at his season, he got better as the year went on. You're overly positive, says an unnamed texter. They lose Sunday. You should freak out. Well, I'll do what I choose, and you can do what you choose. You do you, I'll do me.
Yeah, I don't think that I will. I mean,
I don't see a whole lot of people calling up saying you were right when you told us not to freak out about the Tigers. Why are the phone lines not packed with people that want to call and say that when we went through 2 weeks of that in the middle of the baseball season? Why not? Where are you? Was I overly positive then when I took a big picture view?
If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, congratulations. Which we do stream the show live with video and audio on twitch.tv or on youtube.com. Just search for 971 The Ticket.
Wide 9 Blitz thingies next, 97.1.
Back-to-back days, Tigers beat the Yankees by double-digit runs.
Mm-hmm.
They're the first visiting team to ever do that to the Yankees at the new or old Yankee Stadium.
Send a message.
And I don't even think the message is about scoring all those runs. I think the message was Casey Mize the night prior and then Flaherty last night. Right? Well, those are two performances this team desperately needs if they're going to do anything in the postseason.
And if you can obviously get those performances in the postseason, now all of a sudden you're talking about a completely different scenario than we have been for 6 weeks, eight weeks.
Yeah, there's a roadmap to winning that 5-game series and being in a 7-game series. And it unlocks a lot more for this team if they can get that Casey Mize and that Jack Flaherty. And Flaherty didn't go 7 innings. He went 5. He emptied out the tank. He struck out 7. They got him out of the game.
Yeah.
That's going to be more of a playoff-esque type of performance. Like, you're not going to ask the guy to go deep. Just be effective for 5 innings.
Yeah, and I think that's as AJ continues to figure out this pitching staff along with Chris Fetter. You're up 2-0 against the Yankees, and you get the best of Jack Flaherty. Okay, if 6 weeks ago, do they let him go into the sixth? And then what happens in the sixth? Like, is that where he just completely falls apart? And now all of a sudden they're like, okay, well, we've got 5. Let's take what we got and we'll throw it to the bullpen.
At that third time through the order can be a pain, yeah. Especially with Flaherty this year. Who would be your number 2 starter? I'll ask you the question AJ didn't have to answer the last time we had him on.
Well, I mean, okay, who are we playing? Where are we playing?
Okay, you're playing.
No, it's at this time, you probably have the most faith in Casey Mize. And whether it's that he's going to go out there and pitch a gem like he did the other night, or that the Tigers are just going to come out with a win, however they got to do it, like, both things tell you that it's Casey Mize.
So Flaherty's blowups are ugly.
Yeah.
Mize has been steadier. He's got an ERA under 4. And Mize's ceiling was an all-star in the first half. So I would make it Casey Mize right now. But this is in the
it's a fluid
pencil
situation.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's subject to change. It's just good to see Mize with back-to-back strong outings.
Yes.
Flaherty hasn't had back-to-back strong outings since July.
Right, and so that's where you got to look, okay, what happens the next time Flaherty's on the mound? Is there another performance like this?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.